Man, praise the Lord. That's one of my favorite songs. Oh Lord, when the Lord, I'm looking forward to his coming. Me, either he comes for me or I go to him. Either way, it's all right with me. Praise the Lord. He has been a great week. I've already made those remarks. I'm good to have Bethley here. She's been taking care of Mama, bless her heart. And we go back a long time ago. Yeah. How old are you now? You're 50? He looks 60, but he's 50, so anyway, with that beard. I'm jealous. I can't grow one. My wife won't let me. Yeah. How many believe that? Better raise your hand. That's true. She says, oh, honey, if you grow a beard, I'm not going to kiss you. But anyway, how many think I should grow a beard? Let me see here. Praise the Lord. Not many. That's good. All right.
Oh, my soul. You can grow one. I'm not going to kiss you. And won't matter to me either way. Amen. Boy, it's been a good service, hasn't it? Choir was good, and the offertory was good, and I enjoyed singing that song. Is that in the hymnal? Is that song in your hymnal? The How Great Thou Art, is that in the hymnal? How many of y'all would want to sing that? If I preach a little shorter, would y'all sing that? That's good, wasn't it? Let's sing two verses. Can you come lead it? And can you get that piano? Is she still in here? And if our piano is still in here, she's coming back in. Thank you. You got to warm it up again. Get those fingers going again. And let's do it. Let's do at least two verses of that. Y'all were singing good. You got to stand to sing that one. And she sang it well. Let's join her. I've been wanting to sing it all night since she started it. And I'll shorten the sermon a little bit, so don't get nervous. And let's sing a couple of verses. Make it good now.
22.
Amen. Amen.
Last verse, first and last.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power through sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration.
Thank you, my friends. You may be seated and find in your Bible Romans, the 12th chapter, and we'll look at two verses together tonight. And I want to just take a moment and say thank you, Buffalo Ridge Baptist, for welcoming us again to your church and treating us so kindly this week. It's been a real privilege to serve you and just a real honor and a real joy to be a part of your lives in these few days. And I'm praying for you. I've prayed for you guys for a long time. Every Sunday morning I try to pray through churches where I've ministered and where my friends pastor. And so Buffalo Ridge has been on my Sunday morning prayer list for a long time. And I'll continue to be praying for you. I think great days are ahead. And I'm thankful for what the Lord's already doing in your church and how he's blessing. And he's going to continue to do so. You know that, don't you? This is his church. And if you'll seek him, he'll direct you and he'll bring you the right man to lead you. And by the way, I just thought I'd take a moment and tell you, I had lunch yesterday with Pastor Jody. And he is doing well. The Lord's working in his heart. And just a new time for him. He's really coming out of a time of seriousness and seeking the Lord about some things. But I know that he loves you people, and I know you love him, and you continue to pray for him. I was very encouraged yesterday how the Lord's working in his heart, and I saw that very definitely. And he loves you, and I know you love him. You keep praying for him. And I encouraged him yesterday. I said, you know, the Lord used you at Buffalo Ridge, and folks there will always love you because the Lord used you there. And that's the truth, isn't it? And I told him, I said, I feel a little bit sorry for you because you had to become the pastor after Brother Lastly, and I wouldn't have wanted to have to follow Brother Lastly and Preacher Lastly, but he just did a great job, and I'm thankful for him, and I'm praying for you guys. God is going to direct you as a church, and I'm so excited about the future of your church. It's going to be good days. You'll keep praying, won't you? You'll keep caring about souls, won't you? You'll keep going forward, and God will bless your church, and great days are ahead. Bethany and I, you'll see our trailer around for a few more days. We're heading in the morning or the morning afternoon down to Gatlinburg, and we're going to leave the RV here for a few days, so you'll see it even over the weekend. But I'm heading to a couples retreat in Gatlinburg, a couples prayer advance. So Beth and I both will be speaking at the couples retreat there, and we appreciate you guys so much. Just thank you for how kind you've been, and even for welcoming Brother Nicholas. He's been over there with the boys and girls this week. He's a fine young man. And thank you so much for welcoming him into your church as well. He's from the West Coast. He grew up in San Diego, but I got to tell you, I've had him 4 weeks in the South, and he's all in. Let me tell you, sweet tea, bring it on. And he's just all in. This is a good place to be, isn't it? And so thank you, guys. Romans chapter 12 tonight and the first verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How many of y'all know these two verses by memory, do you? If you don't, you should. If you can't quote them, you ought to learn them. And they're tremendous verses, they're powerful verses, and they're practical verses. And the Lord reminds us here of the gospel. I beseech you by the mercies of God, if you're saved tonight, he's reminding you that you were a sinner and you were lost and you were on the road to hell, but Jesus put somebody in your life to introduce you to him, the Savior who died, he was buried, he was raised from the dead, and when you trusted in him, you found his grace and his mercy to be enough to save you from sin and hell. He's reminding us of that in this text. And then he instructs us in this text of what we're to do because of those mercies. We're to present our bodies. We're to be a living sacrifice. We're to be holy. We're to be transformed. And we're to prove that God's will is good and acceptable and perfect. Can I preach to you a message for these next few moments that I'm going to simply entitle, Are you all in? Are you all in? And that's a good question for a final night of a revival. Are you all in? How many of you are married? Can I see your hand if you're married? All right. Remember when you got married? How many of y'all remember that? You remember when you got married? Weren't you all in? That makes sense, doesn't it? Weren't you all in? Wouldn't it be weird if at a wedding they graded it 1 to 10? And do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife? Yeah, 7. That wouldn't work, would it? Wouldn't work at all. You're either all in or you're not. That's true in marriage. How many of you are on a team? Some of you young folks on a team. Are you on a team? Remember when you joined the team? Weren't you all in? Or if you're an employer tonight, you have employees. Have you ever had an employee that wasn't all in? Whether or not you're all in really matters, doesn't it? How many of you have children? Remember when they were born? Remember that? Remember when your kids were born and you were all in? I remember holding Abby And my little Abby, oh my goodness. And I was all in. That's daddy's girl. I'm all in. I'm just telling you, daddy's girl. I'm hook, line, and sinker. I'm over the top. I'm all in. 14 months later, Josh was born. They were so funny because Abby, and we brought her home. What was she? 5 pounds something. She's a tiny, tiny, tiny little thing. When Josh was born, I think he was almost 8 pounds something. And so it was really a startling thing. I thought, what's wrong with him? And is the baby supposed to be this big? He's a big boy. And I thought, what am I going to do? Because I love her so much. What am I going to do? I'm going to have a baby boy. And then I found out that you don't divide love. Love multiplies. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? I was all in. I'm just telling you, I was all in. How many of you have grandchildren? Raise your hand, good night. How many of you like your grandkids better than your kids? Kind of looks that way for most of you. If you ever see that bumper sticker that says, ask me about my grandchildren, let me give you a piece of advice. Don't. Because it'll take a while. It just, unless you got time, don't ask. But when you had grandkids, you were all in, weren't you? I mean, just all in. Abby was the first granddaughter in Bethley's side of the family, and her daddy cracked me up. He was a whipped puppy from the very beginning. I'm just telling you, he was all in as a grandpa. We honor those who are all in, don't we? Remember D-Day? Remember that? D-Day was a story of men and soldiers who were all in. It's an incredible story. I looked up the other day, General Eisenhower, when he ordered the Normandy invasion, June the 6th, 1944, here was his words to the soldiers. You are about to embark upon the great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you. In company with our brave allies and brothers in arms on other fronts, you will bring about the destruction of the German war machine, the elimination of Nazi tyranny over oppressed people of Europe, and the security for ourselves in a free world. He was all in. And those soldiers were. One of the most fascinating pictures in history is those soldiers marching through the water and being fired upon, hundreds and hundreds dying, but continuing to march forward because they were all in. Looking up on these same website where I was looking up these quotes and different leaders, Queen Elizabeth I, in July of 1588, in support of her military against the Spanish Armada, she said these words. She said, I am amongst you at this time, not as for my recreation or sport, but being resolved in the midst and heat of this battle to live or die amongst you all, to lay down for my God and for my kingdom and for my people, my honor and my blood. And she led her soldiers to a great victory. I love stories of people who are all in. Now, how many of you are saved tonight? You on your way to heaven tonight? Do you know that God invites you to be all in? God invites you in these verses to be all in. And the truth of the matter is that every person in this room tonight ought to be all in so God can bless our lives. And somebody may say, now how in the world can we be all in? In the text, I discovered that you can be all in by your dedication. You can be all in by your transformation. And you can be all in by your evaluation. Do you see dedication in these verses? We might say consecration. You know that word consecration? It's setting apart something for the use of another. It's saying to God, God, this is my body, this is my life, this is my stuff, this is mine, but I want you to have it. I'm giving it to you. And here's how Paul said it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your, say the word, everybody, what's the word? Your body. Say that word again, what's the word? Your bodies. Now, here's what's amazing. He doesn't ask for your intellect. Does that encourage anybody here? He doesn't ask for your talents. Do you find that encouraging? God doesn't say, I want your talents. I want your intellect. I want your abilities. He doesn't say, I want your good looks. That's encouraging, isn't it? What he says is, I want your body. And it's pretty obvious that I figured this out on my own, perhaps, but I made a discovery several years ago. I was thinking about these verses. Every believer I know has a body. And it's the Bible way of saying here, you don't have to have ability, you don't have talent, you don't have to have money, You don't have to be the smartest person in the world. There's a God in heaven who is simply interested in you. And he's wanting you. He wants you. I got saved when I was 15 years old in a public high school. And God worked in my heart through a man named Brother Arwood. And Brother Arwood witnessed to me and witnessed to me and witnessed to me and worked on me and worked on me and would not stop working on me till I got saved. And he led me to Christ on a Sunday night after a service in the front seat of his car. And I got saved. 3 weeks later, I turned 16. And somewhere in those next 3 or 4 weeks, he gave me a little trifold brochure. About the size of my iPad here, maybe. A little bit smaller than that. Just gave me a trifold brochure. And he said, "Now, son, I want you to read this. There's fill in the blanks. And there's verses to look up. And I want you to look up the verses, read the verses, fill in the blanks. And when you're done with it, bring it to me and we're going to talk about it." And I said, "Well, okay." So I got my Bible out. And I didn't know a lot about the Bible, but I discovered this amazing thing at the front. There was a list of the books of the Bible and the page numbers you could find them on. And so I'd go through that little pamphlet with my pen, and it was about baptism. I looked up verses on baptism, filled in the blanks. I looked up verses about church membership, filled in the blanks. Looked up verses about assurance of my salvation, filled in the blanks. And there was all kinds of verses in there and fill in the blanks. The back page. I got over on the back page, and that was the first time I ever saw Romans 12, 1 and 2 that I remember. And it had Romans 12. Look up Romans 12, 1 and 2. And that was when I memorized it. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies." There was a couple of fill in the blanks there. And then whoever wrote that little pamphlet said something like this: "Now, if you really want God to have your life and have all of you, then get on your knees, wherever you are right now, get on your knees and pray this prayer." And they had a pre-written prayer. I'd never prayed a pre-written prayer. But I went over. I was in my bedroom, and I went over and I shut the door. And I locked it because I have siblings. And I went over to my bed, and I knelt beside my bed, and I took that little brochure, and I meant it with all of my heart. I meant this. I said, I read that prayer, and it was something like this. Said, "Now, dear Lord God, thank you so much for saving me and for helping me to come to know you. And I want to be all yours. And your word says I should give you my body, a living sacrifice. And I just want you to know that's what I'm doing right now. I'm giving you my body, a living sacrifice. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen." Now, lightning didn't flash and thunder didn't roll that night. In fact, I didn't get a standing ovation. But I'll tell you what happened that night. That was the beginning of God doing a work in my life that's changed my life even to this day. And here's what I discovered about a consecration. In a consecration, the Bible says here, a dedication, he says, "I'm to give my body a living sacrifice." Now, the point of that living sacrifice is that it's alive. And as long as I'm alive, God is interested in me. And there was a time when I thought, all right, give yourself to God and you're all in, you're done. But I got to think about one day. Really, that's probably not the best way to look at it. Because when I got saved and gave myself the Lord that night, I meant it with every ounce of my being. But I got to tell you, there's been many times in my life where I've made a dedication to the Lord of me as a living sacrifice. For instance, some months after I was saved, it was probably 7 or 8 months after I got saved, I was in church on a Sunday night. There were 2 rows of pews, small country church, Lansing, Tennessee. And I was 4 rows back, right on the aisle. And my pastor preached from Romans 12, 1 and 2. That's Brother Arwood, the man that led me to Jesus. He preached Romans 12, 1 and 2. A living sacrifice. Give all you have to God. Give him your life. Follow him. Serve him. Love him. Honor him. And he said, "Now if you mean that with all your heart and that's what you want to do, come tonight and kneel and tell God about it." And they started singing the invitation hymn. You know, our church had a communion table like you all do. And right in front of the communion table, we had a mourner's bench. How many of y'all know that phrase? You know that phrase? We had a mourner's bench, they called it. And I left my seat 4 rows back, and I knelt on this side of that mourner's bench, and I said to God that night, I said, "Now, God, I don't know everything this means, but I really want to be yours, and I'm all in, and I'm a living sacrifice, and I want you to have my life, and I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll marry who you want me to marry. I'm all yours. I'm all in. Lock, stock, and barrel. God, I just want you to know I'm all in." I'd already told the Lord that in my bedroom, but I said it again because I wanted to be absolutely all in, dedicated, consecrated to God. I remember that night because as I was kneeling right there, that is the night I just absolutely knew without any doubt that God was telling me that night that I was going to be a preacher. I just knew it. It wasn't like God said, "Son, thou shalt preach. It wasn't audible, but my heart knew. I'm going to be a preacher. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. And I just that night said, okay, I'm all in. You want me to preach? I'll do it. Okay. So I went back to my seat. Brother Arwood, they're singing. And Brother Arwood, he had never done this before. Came off the platform. He came back to me. He said, hey, David, son, what did you pray about tonight? I said, well, Brother Arwood, I told God I was all in. And I think, Brother Arwood, God's calling me to preach. I think God wants me to be a preacher. And I'll never forget this. He goes like this. He goes, that's wonderful. He said, son, right in the middle of the invitation, son, there's only one way to know for sure that you're called to preach. That's to do it. Next Sunday night, we'll see. And he goes back to the platform and tells the crowd this. Said, all right, now Dave Young tonight, Brother Dave, you know, he just got saved 6-7 months ago. And Brother Dave told God tonight he was all in, and he thinks God wants him to preach. He said, so next Sunday night, y'all come. And he said, he's going to preach his first sermon, and we're going to see if he's, you know, if really God's in this. And our church on Sunday morning would run 60 on Sunday morning. We had 120 people next Sunday night. And I preached 21 minutes. And Bethany's over here thinking, Yanni hasn't done that since. And some of you are probably thinking the same thing. But I remember I was all in. And you know what? I found out that was an ongoing matter. It's an ongoing matter. I remember when I wanted to go, God, where am I going to go to college? And what do you want me to do with my life? And I grew up in these hills around here. And where I grew up, in the part of East Tennessee where I grew up, the churches I attended believed there were two kinds of preachers. They believed there were good ones and educated ones. And so I didn't think you ought to go to Bible college to be a preacher. I just thought you'd get up and open your mouth and let the Lord fill you. And Brother Arwood said, no. He said, you can go to Bible college and you could come out and be wrong. I understand that. But he said, God's called you to preach. You've got to go to Bible college. And I said, well, I don't know where, I've never heard of a Bible college. I don't know what that is. I don't know where to go. And he said, I know of three. One of them, I'm not sure what they said on the Bible. And he said, I know about Tennessee Temple. And he said, their president just resigned, so I'm not sure I want you to go there because I don't know anything about that new president. But he said, there's a college down in Florida, Pensacola Christian. I don't know much about it, but I prayed about it. And I believe God's telling me that's where you ought to go. And so somebody says, why'd you go to PCC? Well, because Brother Arwood led me to Jesus, and that's where he said I ought to go. I mean, I wish it were deeper than that. I wish it were like a real deep, spiritual, amazing thing. But Brother Arwood said, go to Pensacola. And I said, yes, sir, you led me to the Lord. I was called to preach under your ministry. I went to Pensacola, and I got to Pensacola, and they said, well, you need a major. What are you going to study? And I said, well, I hadn't thought about that. And I remember in registration, they, you know, you got to declare a major. And they said, we got four. You can be a Bible. That's like a pastoral major. And I looked that up and found out, man, that's a lot of work. I'm not doing that. And then I looked up missions. I looked up missions, and I thought, I could do that. I'd love to be a missionary. And then I looked up youth pastoring, and I thought, I was a teenager. No way. And then I looked up evangelism. They had an evangelism major. Boy, that piqued my heart. I'm telling you, I was raised around revivals, and I always loved revivals, and I loved revival preaching, and I loved folks getting saved in a revival and churches being stirred in a revival and the power of God of a revival. And I said, you know what? I'm going to be an evangelism major. And then I got in the major and found that I couldn't do it. My daddy's a farmer. Nobody knows Dave Young. I went to college with a guy named Rice. Big name, Bill Rice, John Rice, Bill Rice Ranch. I'm Dave Young. Nobody's going to have Dave Young. Who in the world? How am I going to get in evangelism? And I went to the Bill Rice Ranch one summer to be a counselor. And at the Bill Rice Ranch that summer, one night on a Monday night, sat up at the front, and a preacher preached about being all in. And trusting the Lord and following what God's called you to do in your life. And they dismissed the service, didn't give an invitation. Everybody left. No invitation that night. So I had my own. I got me a folding chair, and I put it up against the wall over there. And nobody in that big old auditorium, and I knelt by that wall over there, and I said, okay, Lord, I've always wanted to be an evangelist, and I wasn't sure I could do it, and I know I can't, but I know you can. And I just want you to know, God, I'm all yours. And I mean it. If I preach to tiny churches or big churches, or I preach to 5 or 10 or 5,000, I want you to know, Lord, I'm going to give my life. I'm going to be an evangelist. I'm all in. And I say all that to tell you tonight, there's a God in heaven who invites you to be all in, to dedicate your life to Christ. And you say, Dave, I've already done that. But how long has it been since you made a consecration? See, God's interested in yourself. He's interested in your stuff. And he's even interested in your station in life. He's interested in yourself. You might be a teenager in the room tonight, and there's never been a time in your life that you said to God, God, I'm all in. I want you to have me. And you've never knelt in the presence of God and presented yourself to God. God, I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll be everything you want me to be. I'm all in. Then, teenager, you need to have a consecration tonight. You may be a dad in this room tonight, and you're saved on your way to heaven, but you don't remember a time you ever said to God and really meant it, God, I'm all in. I'll be the dad I ought to be. I'll honor you. I'll serve you. I'll love you. I'll keep you first in my life. I want you to know, God, I'm all in. It's got to start with self. How long's it been since you made sure that you were all in? You, yourself, I'm all in. I mean, lock, stock, and barrel, I'm all in. And God, I'm giving my body. How long's it been since you gave your stuff? God, this is mine, but you can have it. God, this is my car, it's yours. This is my house, but it's yours. It's my business, but it's yours. This is my salary, but it's yours, Lord. I'm all in, my stuff. How about your station in life? See, there's parents in this room tonight. Can I ask you a question? Years ago, you were a teenager at a camp, and you said, God, I'm all in, and now you're a parent. Have you dedicated that to the Lord? You say, God, these are my kids, and I just want you to know I'm all in, and I'm going to do everything in my power to train them, to raise them, to teach them, so they'll go the right way all the days of their life. God, I'm all in. I'm going to get working. I'm going to pray. We're going to have family devotions. God, I'm going to do everything I possibly can by your grace, by your power, by your help, because I want you to know, God, I'm a dad now. I'm a mom now, and I want you to know, God, I'm all in. Do all I can. How about you retired people? Isn't retirement great? No job, no money, no worries, no money. But have you given that retirement to the Lord? I go to some churches sometimes, and I don't know y'all well enough to know if this is you or not, but I'll go to churches sometimes, and I'll hear things like this from pastors, that we can't get anybody to work in the nursery. And a lot of our folks, well, I've done my time, preacher. Let the younger folks do that. I've done my time. I gave a lot of years to the bus route. I've done my time. Somebody else can do that. I serve the nursery. I serve the nursery. I'm retired now. Somebody else can do that. Can I remind you tonight? You can retire from a job, but nobody ought to retire on Christianity. Nobody ought to stop serving God. There's soul winning visitation. You ought to go. You ought to be all in. If we're taking up an offering, you ought to give. You ought to be all in. You're retired, yes, but have you given that to the Lord? Have you said, God, I'm older now, and I can't do all the stuff I used to do, but I'm all yours, and I'm retired, and I don't have any money, and I don't have a lot of ability, and I don't have the energy I used to have, but I can serve you, and you can have my retirement. Ladies and gentlemen, some of you could give your retirement to the Lord and become the greatest prayer warrior that Buffalo Ridge has ever had. You could give your retirement to the Lord, and some of you older folks could invest in some of these younger folks that don't know how to raise children. We can complain about them, can't we? These people don't know how to raise their kids out of control, what in the world? Or we could say, won't y'all come over and have dinner with us? Maybe can we tell you how we raised our children? When they disobeyed, we bent them over our knee and spanked the daylights out of them. And they learned to say, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. And we made them. We made them say, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. And we taught them to sit up in church and pay attention. And see, it's not that it's a different generation. It's on how to train them. They don't know how. They don't know how to show a son to obey and a daughter to obey and how to be polite. We don't know. But I'm telling you, you could give your retirement. Doesn't the Bible say, ladies, that an older lady ought to teach a younger lady to love her husbands and love her family and serve the Lord? Isn't that what the Bible teaches? And older men ought to instruct younger men. I'm telling you, you ought to be all in. God's called you to be all in. Not just to warm a seat here at Buffalo Ridge. Not just to sit on a pew. Thank God for your faithfulness. Come on. Thank God for your giving. Keep it up. But I'm telling you, God wants you to be all in. Give him your retirement. Give him your parenting. Give him your grandparenting. God wants you to make a dedication. That's what he invites us to in this text. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And so I ask you tonight, you're a child of God, aren't you? But how long has it been since you made a dedication? Since you said, Lord, I just want you to know, I'm going to dedicate the rest of my years to you. Bethley's daddy, he pastored for 47 years in the same church. He was in another church before that. And when he retired after 47 years of pastoring, his health was failing. He had some disease. I only know the initials, MG. And he started with Parkinson's, and his health was failing. He didn't have a lot of energy. But he dedicated his retirement to the Lord. And as an old man, he's getting on up there in years, but he had driven to the hospital to pray with people before they had a surgery. And he became one of my prayer partners. He is my pep rallier. He is a blessing to me. Bethany's dad would call me at least once a week. He'd say, "David, son, how are you?" "Dad, I'm fine. How's my Bethany?" "She's beautiful as she ever has been, Dad. How are my grandkids?" And then he'd say, "How's the revival? How was the revival last week?" And I love Bethany's dad because it doesn't matter how many people got saved, he is happy about it. One night I told him I'd been in Moldova, and we had a phenomenal meeting in Moldova. One service in Moldova, we had 227 people get saved. Came forward, came down the aisle, we counseled them, led 227 people to Christ. And I told Dad that, and I can still remember him. "Praise God, son. Oh, my goodness," he said, "that's amazing. That's wonderful. Praise God," he said. "That's wonderful. That's just, that. I'm telling you, son, that's wonderful. It's worth it all." And then he'd say, "You know, you're a great evangelist, son. Boy, the Lord uses you." And I called him one weekend, or he called me rather, how you doing, son? How's Bethany? How are the grandkids? How's the revival?" And I said, "Well, Dad, it wasn't really that great. It wasn't well attended. Services were dry. As far as I know, the only thing that happened last week is one little boy got saved over in Children's Church, one little boy." And I'll never forget, he caught me off guard. "Oh, my goodness," he said, "son, isn't that wonderful? One little boy got saved, praise God." He said, "You're a great evangelist. Man, I'm telling you, isn't it worth it all? See one little boy get saved. Man, I'm telling you, you're a great evangelist. God is really using you." And I'm just telling you, here was an old man. He can't preach the way he used to. He couldn't do all the things. He said to me one time, he said, "My goodness, son, I wish I had my brain in your body." I didn't know how to take that. I think what he was saying was, "I need more brain," just what he was saying. But he said, "I wish I were young again, knowing everything I know now, so I could serve the Lord." Listen, I'm telling you, are you alive tonight? God's not done with you. God's not finished with you. And God wants everybody in this room to be all in. Dad, how long has it been since you gave him everything? Mom, how long has it been since you were all in as a Christian mom? How long, grandmoms, since you were all in? You grandmothers, since you just gave it all to Christ, I'm all in. I'm going to train my granddaughters. I'm going to impact my grandsons. I'm going to serve the Lord in my retirement. God, I'm all in. I'm yours. You probably never met John Conrad, but you should. He's my good buddy. He's getting up in years now. Had a heart attack some months ago, and Brother Conrad retired, living the dream, a home in the north and a home in Florida. And a winter in the south and summers in the north, getting the best of both worlds. And his finances went through a crisis with a stock market issue and kind of rocked his world. And he went to God and said, "Lord, I'm older and don't know what to do. I was planning to just play golf and enjoy my retire years. God, I just want you to know I've been thinking about it and I want to be all in. You can have my retirement." And God stirred in Brother Conrad's heart. I'm on his board. I've traveled around the world with him. And Brother Conrad raises money to build independent Baptist church facilities around the world. Through our ministry with him, almost 100 church buildings we've built for congregations that'll never have one without help. They sacrifice. They make the bricks. Those people have given so much and have so little, but we've helped them have their own church building. All because Brother Conrad said, "God, I'm all in. I'm all in." What would God have you to do tonight? It's the end of our revival. What would God have you to do? Is there a man in this room tonight? You'd say, "Okay, God, I'm willing to get on my knees and say, I'm all in. I'm all in." How many moms in this room that, "God, I'm all in"? Well, what is it God wants from you tonight? Is there an area of your life? Say, "God, I'm all in that area. I'm all yours. I'm all in." You can be all in by your dedication, your consecration, if you will. But you can be all in by your transformation. Look at that. Look at the end of verse 1. Because he says he wants our bodies a living sacrifice, and he wants it to be holy and acceptable unto God. In other words, I not only should give myself to the Lord, I should please the Lord with my life. He wants my life to be holy, to be acceptable, to be pleasing unto him. And he says, "So don't be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind." Literally, you could say, God is telling us in this passage change from the world to Christ through my thinking. That's what he says here. Don't be conformed to the world. How many of y'all know what Plato is? You know what Plato is? How many of you know Play-Doh? Do you know Play-Doh? I love Play-Doh. My wife doesn't love Play-Doh, but I love Play-Doh. Play-Doh gets in the carpet, gets in the furniture. It's a messy thing, but Play-Doh is fun. Now, our kids always got Play-Doh. Sometimes it was good people in independent Baptist churches would give our children Play-Doh. And we'd take it home in the RV, and boy, you could smash that Play-Doh down and work it down real good, smash it down. And I used to wear this big old class ring, had an eagle on one side, and the year I graduated from college, and me and the kids would take that class ring off, and there's that Play-Doh. And very gently, you could take that class ring, and you could roll it into that Play-Doh. How many of y'all getting this picture? You get this picture? You could roll it into that Play-Doh. Roll it in there. Roll it gently, gently. Ease it out of that Play-Doh. And the Play-Doh is conformed to the image of my ring. That's the word conformed here. If I were to ask you tonight, is your life more like the world or more like Christ? How would you answer that? Your home more like the world's homes or more like Christ? Your testimony more like the world's or more like Christ's? The way you treat your wife, the way you respond to your husband, you more like the world or are you more like Christ? Are you a loving, sweet, gentle, gracious, kind, thoughtful, thankful, godly man and woman? Or are you irritating, grouchy, upset, bothered, on edge, frustrated all the time? God's called us to please Him, to give our lives and to be transformed, to be more like Jesus than we've ever been. How much like Jesus are you? To be transformed. That word transform is a powerful word. In the Greek language, it's a Greek word, and as best I can tell, you'd pronounce it metamorphose. It's where we get the English word metamorphosis. How many of y'all know that word? You know that word? That's a simple little word. Here's a little caterpillar, and that little caterpillar eats and eats and eats and builds a cocoon. And then struggles and is transformed into a beautiful butterfly. It's really a weird thing. How in the world do you get a butterfly out of a caterpillar? It doesn't make sense. Any more than it makes sense that God can take a messed up life like mine and yours in a messed up world like the one we live in, when so many things are upside down and so many things are off center and things just aren't plumb anymore. And yet God can transform us and turn us into a loving and gentle and sweet and wonderful and godly and amazing Christian person. We can't do that on our own, but He says here you can through the renewing of your mind. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'll get in God's Word and give your life to God and pursue God's Word and be filled with the Spirit and let God work in your life, it's absolutely amazing what God can do with a life like mine and yours when we give it to Him and we set out to please Him in everything that we do. Are you pleasing God? Your music, your movies, your entertainment, your attitude, your words, your spirit, your treatment of others, your responses. Am I making sense tonight? God's inviting us to be all in. And so here's what the Bible says. I can be all in by my dedication. I can be all in by my transformation. And ladies and gentlemen, I will tell you tonight that I can be all in by my evaluation. Have you ever thought about that last phrase? He says, here's why I want you to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Here's why I want you not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here's why. That she may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, I will tell you something about that word prove. That word prove means to test, to discern, to examine, to evaluate. Here's what God is saying. Daddy, look at me tonight. Dads in this room, you and I as dads have a choice. We can live like the world around us. We can run and run and run and busy and running here and running there and making money and paying the bills. We can live like the world around us and come home tired and frustrated and irritated and bothered all the time, and we never have devotions and the kids watch whatever they want to watch. We can live the way the world lives, or we can go all out for God and have an absolute distinct Christian life and Christian home and Christian testimony. And as we do it, here's what we'll find out. We'll find out that God's will is better than anything the world has to offer. God's will is good. God's will is acceptable. God's will is perfect. God's called me and you to enjoy spending the rest of our life discerning that God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. And here's where it starts, with you being all in. I can tell you, it's an amazing thing about God's will, isn't it? It is good. It sure is acceptable. It sure is perfect. I don't know that I have as much money as you do, but there's a good chance tonight that you're looking at the wealthiest man you'll ever meet. I would argue with you about that. You're looking at a very wealthy man tonight. I'm just about as wealthy as it's possible to be this side of heaven. I'm telling you, I'm a filthy rich man. Just think about how good God's been to me. Tonight, I have peace. I'm a wealthy man. Tonight, I have joy. I'm a wealthy man. I got some pretty amazing friends. I'm a wealthy man. I got a beautiful wife. I'm a wealthy man. We're in love. I'm a wealthy man. We actually like each other. I'm a wealthy man. We flirt. We do. I think one of my callings in life is to embarrass my kids. We flirt. We date. We hold hands. I'm a wealthy man. Here I am, 50 years old almost, and I got a happy marriage. I'm a wealthy man. And I got 5 great kids. Now, we've spent a lot of time working on them. It's been a lot of work. I'm tired. I got kids. They just come into your life and stay. They don't leave, and they take a lot of work. But I'm a wealthy man. Some people say to us, Brother Young, is it hard on you that your kids live in California, you live in Florida? You know, it catches me off guard because, you know, if I stop, well, maybe, I guess it is. But I didn't raise them to live with me. I raised them to leave. Go serve God and honor God and have babies. I want grandkids. There's David and Abby serving the Lord at West Coast Baptist College. God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. I'm just telling you it is. There's my Josh Camarillo serving the Lord with Bethany. God's will is good. Matthew, my son Matthew, he said, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. And then he said, you know what I'm going to do with my life? I want to be a businessman, and I want to own my own Chick-fil-A. And I said to myself, he loves the Lord, doesn't he? If you're going to own your own Chick-fil-A, it's a sign you love the Lord, don't you think? He loves the Lord. He said, Dad, I'm going to go to Bible college one year, and I'm going to come home and go to Pensacola. I'm going to get my MBA, and I'm going to start working there. And he already worked for Chick-fil-A, but I'm going to start working up in Chick-fil-A.